Today is Saturday, January 18th, 2025, and you are listening to the World Socialist Website. Medicine is a social science, and politics is nothing but medicine on a grand scale. Quote by Dr. Rudolf Virchow, known as the father of modern pathology and the central figure in the emergence of public health in Germany. I see the disinfectant which knocks it out in a minute. Is there a way we can do something like that, by injection inside for almost a cleaning? Supposing we hit the body with a tremendous, whether it's ultraviolet or just very powerful light, supposing it brought the light inside the body, which you can either do through the skin or some other way. Donald Trump, April 2020. 5 years after the start of the COVID-19 pandemic in January 2020, Donald Trump will return to the White House on Monday. More so than any other figure, Trump is identified with the disastrous official response to the pandemic, initiating a war on science and public health epitomized in the murderous, quote, herd immunity strategy of deliberate mass infection and death. Over the course of 2020, Trump set into motion a basic pattern of lies, denial, and anti-science disinformation. In his return to power, Trump, too, will likely be accompanied by the notorious purveyor of pseudoscience and anti-vaccine disinformation, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., slated to head the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS. Greg Gonsalves, an epidemiologist at the Yale School of Public Health, recently compared Kennedy heading the HHS to, quote, putting a flat earther in charge of NASA. A letter to the U.S. Senate signed by more than 15,000 physicians warned, quote, the health and well-being of 336 million Americans depend on leadership at HHS that prioritizes science, evidence-based medicine, and strengthening the integrity of our public health system. RFK Jr. is not only unqualified to lead this essential agency, he is actively dangerous. On Friday, the New York Times reported that Kennedy filed a petition with the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, to revoke its authorization of all anti-COVID-19 vaccines in May 2021, as thousands of Americans were still dying from the disease each week. Trump's other public health appointees, Great Barrington Declaration co-author Jay Bhattacharya to head the National Institutes of Health, NIH, Dr. Mehmet Oz to head the Department of Medicine and Medicare, anti-abortion fanatic Dave Weldon to head the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, Fox News television doctor Janet Nesheuwat as Surgeon General, and Marty Makary to head the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, amount to a rogues gallery of some of the leading anti-science advocates throughout the pandemic. They have all denigrated or cast doubt on the COVID-19 vaccines and vociferously opposed virtually every public health measure that saved lives. Their aim is to put the final nail in the coffin of public health in the U.S., which will have vast global ramifications. Under the banner, Make America Healthy Again, Trump, Kennedy, and this gang of quacks will do everything in their power to facilitate the spread of disease, including previously eliminated pathogens like measles and new existential threats like H5N1 bird flu. Biden, having won the 2020 election in large part due to his pledges to, quote, follow the science, steadily eviscerated every limited public health measure in place during his tenure in office. Over the past 4 years, Biden and the Democratic Party have implemented a bipartisan forever COVID policy of perpetual mass infection, debilitation, and death, in the process overseeing the excess deaths of nearly 1 million Americans. Contrary to the lies of capitalist politicians and the corporate media, the pandemic is by no means over. In fact, Trump returns to power amid the 10th wave of mass infection in the United States, with wastewater data showing that over 1 million Americans are being infected with COVID-19 every day and rising. This coincides with a surge in seasonal flu, respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, and norovirus, dubbed a quademic by health officials, with similar conditions in the UK and across Europe. The corporate media in the US has provided scant coverage of this crisis, with virtually no mention of the central role played by COVID-19 or the horrific conditions that now exist in hospital systems across the country. In just the last 3 months of 2024, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, estimates that there were 9.3 million cases of flu, leading to 140,000 hospitalizations and 13,000 deaths, along with 1.2 million cases of RSV, causing 60,000 hospitalizations and 3,100 deaths. Due to inadequate testing, large numbers of COVID-19 hospitalizations and deaths go uncounted, but the CDC data show that at least 130,000 Americans were hospitalized and over 15,000 killed by COVID-19 in the same time period. While official figures show that over 50,000 Americans died of COVID-19 in 2024, excess death estimates by The Economist were roughly 120,000. In total, the U.S. has now suffered over 1.5 million excess deaths, while the global figure is approaching 30 million. Scientific studies indicate that over 20 million Americans and roughly 500 million people globally are now suffering from long COVID, an often debilitating affliction that can impact virtually every organ in the body. Multiple rigorous studies have established that reinfections with COVID-19 compound one's risk of developing long COVID. On average, every American has been infected with COVID at least 3 to 4 times since the beginning of the pandemic. A recent study on cognitive impairments associated with neurological long COVID found that these patients exhibited higher rates of fatigue, depression, and anxiety, and did worse on cognitive tests. They had impairments in their mental flexibility, verbal short-term memory, working memory, and processing speed. These findings are proven every day in the real-life experiences of millions of workers and professionals for whom the chronic disabling disease has caused significant daily disruptions to every aspect of their lives. Furthermore, recent studies have found an association between common non-COVID infections and non-communicable diseases later in life, including stomach cancer and cirrhosis. Multiple infections earlier in life have shown deleterious impacts on overall health, underscoring the importance of infection prevention and indicating the vast potential health ramifications of the, quote, forever COVID policy. Beyond the acute and long-term physical damage caused by the pandemic, its social, political, and even psychological consequences have been far-reaching. Above all, the capitalist response to the pandemic has exposed the ruling class's visceral hatred for public health and determination to lower life expectancy in the working class. This has found concentrated expression in the Biden administration's non-response to the escalating threat of an H5N1 bird flu pandemic, which has been greeted with a collective shrug. The announcement last month of the first human death from bird flu in the U.S. is a stark reminder of how unprepared the world remains for another pandemic. Historically, bird flu has had a documented case fatality rate of roughly 50%. The man who has overseen the response to the bird flu outbreak in the U.S., USDA head Tom Vilsack, is intimately connected to the agribusiness, meat, and dairy industries, and has directly profited from these connections throughout his political career. Under Vilsack's direction, the Biden administration has done nothing to stop the spread of bird flu among cattle over the past year, which so far has likely infected hundreds of farm workers. regardless of whether the next pandemic is bird flu, Mpox, or some other disease, the response will once again amount to extreme nationalism in the promotion of a eugenicist and fascistic, quote, herd immunity policy. There have already been articles published by the same purveyors of disinformation during the COVID-19 pandemic, including the Brownstone Institute and the War Room podcast hosted by Steve Bannon, falsely claiming that bird flu is a hoax or another lab leak engineered by Anthony Fauci, a conspiracy theory which Bannon pioneered in January 2020 with the Wuhan lab lie. The danger of a bird flu pandemic will only worsen under Trump and Kennedy, as the latter has actively promoted the consumption of unpasteurized raw milk, well known to increase the risk of bird flu infections among humans. The bipartisan assault on public health has had disastrous and far-reaching consequences. In a recent widely read interview with the World Socialist website, noted COVID researcher Dr. Arjit Chakravarti summarized the historic assault on public health which has taken place during the COVID-19 pandemic, stating, quote, "This is what failure looks like. We are looking at it. No one ever said when the concept of public health emerged in the 19th century, we really need an organization that is committed to serving as the doula for every newly emergent pathogen that pops out of the wild. The idea that emergent pathogens need to be shepherded into endemicity, this has never been in any public health mission statement. There really is no historical precedent for this. No society in the world ever said, oh, you're infected? Let's let it spread. This whole concept of pox parties being a thing is ludicrous, but that's exactly where we are today. Quarantines used to happen in the 14th century with plague. This uncritical acceptance of infectious disease as sort of a lord and savior is brand new." End quote. Indeed, the open repudiation of the most basic principles of public health over the past 5 years is, except under police state and fascist regimes, unprecedented in modern history. Alongside the ongoing genocide in Gaza, the normalization of the use of nuclear weapons in the U.S.-NATO war against Russia, and the global rise of fascist politics, the attacks on science and public health during an active pandemic epitomize the modern descent into capitalist barbarism. The intersection of the emergence of public health as a discipline and the development of Marxism was not incidental. Only 3 years after Friedrich Engels published his seminal 1845 work, The Condition of the Working Class in England, in 1848, the distinguished German physician and progressive liberal Rudolf Virchow, 1821-1902, was commissioned by the central government in Berlin to investigate a typhus epidemic that had erupted in the depressed and impoverished eastern province of Silesia in what was then Prussia. Virchow's report was an indictment of the abject poverty and squalid living conditions that affected the Silesian peasants. Noting that the epidemic was concentrated among the poorest and malnourished who became more vulnerable to the disease, Virchow stressed that the typhus epidemic was more a social problem than a medical issue, and that it could only be prevented through the ending of, quote, social inequality. He advocated for, quote, full and unlimited democracy and education, freedom, and prosperity for all. In an article about Virchow's work published in the Global Health Journal in 2021, coinciding with the deadliest year of the COVID-19 pandemic, Klaus W. Lang wrote, quote, "In the German Revolution of 1848, Virchow became an activist committed to revolutionary social change. During the year of the revolution, he remained politically very active, was amongst those manning the barricades in Berlin, and founded the weekly newspaper Die Medizinische Reform, Medical Reform, written for a mass readership. Virchow's medical studies of social etiology, combined with his political radicalism, led him to characterize himself as a socialist with the primary objective of improving the welfare of the working class." End quote. One of Virchow's fundamental theories that proved prophetic and correct was his postulate that the impact of social circumstances and inequality contribute to the dissemination of illness and the emergence of epidemics, and that the equitable distribution of society's resources would ameliorate these epidemics. As Virchow said then, medicine extends beyond just the treatment of disease and must encompass measures that address the health and well-being of the entire population. Virchow's four principles for reforming medicine included 1. People's health is a matter of social concern. 2. Economic and social conditions have major effects on health and disease, which must be scientifically studied. 3. Promoting health and combating disease must include both social and medical measures. 4. Medical statistics provide the standard of measurement. Virchow also advocated for the prohibition of child labor and protection of pregnant women from occupational exposures to toxic substances. Much of Virchow's revolutionary perspectives towards public health found fertile ground in the aftermath of the October 1917 Russian Revolution led by Vladimir Lenin and Leon Trotsky, which completed the overthrow of the Tsarist autocracy. By bringing an end to World War I and directing resources to the revolutionary democratic and socialist transformation of the country, and thereby addressing the high rates of infant and maternal mortality, the Bolshevik regime rapidly increased life expectancy for the entire population. The social gains that have been made over the past century, including numerous mass vaccination campaigns, vast improvements in sanitation and food industries, safe drinking water, and the science of health, have led to a doubling of life expectancy across the globe. However, in the aftermath of the dissolution of the Soviet Union, and especially in the last two decades, these hard-won social gains began to be clawed back by the corporate and financial aristocracy, with life expectancy for working people steadily declining in comparison to the more affluent layers of society. The COVID-19 pandemic has starkly exacerbated and entrenched these inequities. The appointment of RFK Jr. and the second Trump administration will quickly accelerate these decades-long processes. Only the working class has the means and objective interests in reversing these trajectories through socialist revolution on an international scale. The attack on public health is foremost an attack on the social value created by the working class. In Volume 1 of Capital, Karl Marx wrote, quote, "Hence, capital is reckless of the health or length of life of the laborer, unless under compulsion from society. To the outcry as to the physical and mental degradation, the premature death, the torture of overwork, it answers, ought these to trouble us since they increase our profits? But looking at things as a whole, all this does not, indeed, depend on the good or ill will of the individual capitalist. Free competition brings out the inherent laws of capitalist production in the shape of external coercive laws having power over every individual capitalist." End quote. The same class force and profit imperatives described by Marx over 150 years ago have only strengthened in the 21st century as capitalism descends into modern barbarism. The naked rule of the oligarchy embodied in Trump, RFK Jr., their close ally Elon Musk, and the entire incoming administration must and will be opposed by the development of a powerful socialist movement in the American and international working class. Throughout the pandemic, the World Socialist website and the International Committee of the Fourth International alone have advanced a revolutionary strategy to stop the spread of COVID-19 and to protect the health and lives of the working class and the entire population. In opposition to the bourgeois propaganda and efforts to normalize the pandemic, which has produced a crippling fatalism among many anti-COVID advocates, the WSWS has relentlessly gathered and published information through the Global Workers' Inquest into the COVID-19 pandemic as part of our broader efforts to educate the working class and build a socialist leadership. The only viable policy toward COVID-19 is one of global elimination, which requires the universal deployment of all available public health measures and the renovation of all indoor public spaces with HEPA filters and far UVC technology. Not only would these measures stop the COVID-19 pandemic, but they would also lay the foundations for eliminating the flu, RSV, and other pathogens that needlessly plague humanity while creating the necessary public health infrastructure to prevent future pandemics. The WSWS and ICFI renew our call for an alliance between principled scientists and the working class, the two interdependent forces whose combined strength is the only means to stop the capitalist war on public health and science and rebuild global society on the basis of scientific economic planning. Upholding TikTok ban, Supreme Court attacks First Amendment ahead of Trump inauguration, by Andre Damon. On Friday, the Supreme Court delivered a sweeping, unanimous broadside against the First Amendment of the Constitution, just days ahead of the coming to power of President-elect Donald Trump, who is pledged to rule as, quote, dictator on day one. The attack took the form of a ruling upholding a federal ban on TikTok, the fourth most popular social media network in the United States. The court ruled that, quote, national security concerns take precedence over freedom of expression, which is a stock pseudo-legal mechanism used by every dictatorship for attacks on democratic rights. The ban on TikTok is scheduled to go into effect on January 19th, but the Biden administration has said that it will not enforce it, leaving the fate of the social media network to the next administration. The Trump administration has said it has not decided how to proceed, leaving open a political arrangement to keep it available under greater state control. The Supreme Court ruling, however, has sweeping implications far beyond the case of TikTok. As Jamil Jaffer, executive director of the Knight First Amendment Institute, explained, quote, TikTok's future will turn on politics, not on today's ruling by the Supreme Court. But make no mistake, by allowing the ban to go into effect, the Supreme Court has weakened the First Amendment and markedly expanded the government's power to restrict speech in the name of national security. Its implications for TikTok may be limited, but the ruling creates the space for other repressive policies in the future. End quote. The majority of the unsigned ruling is dedicated to the dishonest argument that there are no First Amendment issues raised in the banning of TikTok because the ban is not designed to limit any political or intellectual viewpoint. But having made this argument, the conclusion of the ruling counterposes the freedom of speech to, quote, national security and categorically comes down on the side of the latter. Quote, there is no doubt that, for more than 170 million Americans, TikTok offers a distinctive and expansive outlet for expression, means of engagement, and source of community. But Congress has determined that divestiture is necessary to address its well-supported national security concerns regarding TikTok's data collection practices and relationship with a foreign adversary. End quote. In other words, the conclusion of the ruling admits that the American public has a clear free speech interest in the availability of TikTok, but that, quote, national security, as defined by the American government, supersedes that interest. Justifying its conclusion, the Supreme Court declares, citing an earlier court ruling, quote, we are mindful that this law arises in a context in which national security and foreign policy concerns arise in connection with efforts to confront evolving threats in an area where information can be difficult to obtain and the impact of certain conduct difficult to assess. We thus afford the government's informed judgment substantial respect here." End quote. The implications of these words are sweeping. The First Amendment of the Constitution declares, quote, "Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press." In the American system of government of checks and balances, it is the duty of the Supreme Court to prevent Congress from doing anything that would violate the Constitution. But the ruling declares that the, quote, "substantial respect" granted to the, quote, "informed judgment" of the government regarding foreign policy can then be used as a lever to overturn the most fundamental of constitutional protections, the freedom of speech. Using this logic, all domestic opposition to war could be banned on the grounds that it gives aid and comfort to, quote, "foreign adversaries." In response to criticism that this is unconstitutional, the court would then say that what denotes foreign adversaries is, quote, "difficult to determine," and therefore the government's opinion must be granted, quote, "substantial respect." The entire framework of the ruling is grounded on the doctrine of, quote, "great power conflict," adopted in the Trump administration's 2018 national security strategy, which requires, quote, "the seamless integration of multiple elements of national power, diplomacy, information, economics, finance, intelligence, law enforcement, and military," end quote. The campaign to ban TikTok, initiated under the first Trump administration and led by Republican arch-warmonger Michael Gallagher, flowed directly from this doctrine. The Supreme Court ruling rests on the Biden administration's June 9, 2021, quote, "executive order on protecting American sensitive data from foreign adversaries," which declares, quote, "the term foreign adversary means any foreign government or foreign non-government person engaged in a long-term pattern or serious instances of conduct significantly adverse to the national security of the United States," end quote. Within this framework, the term foreign adversary is essentially limitless. Earlier this month, President-elect Donald Trump declared that, quote, "for the purposes of national security, ownership and control of Greenland is an absolute necessity," end quote, for the United States. By the Biden administration's definition, Denmark could be construed by Trump as a threat to the national security of the United States by virtue of its possession of Greenland. It is noteworthy that the Supreme Court prominently cites Humanitarian Law Project v. Holder, the 2010 case in which the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the Obama administration. That ruling upheld a law making it a crime to, quote, "knowingly provide material support or resources to a foreign terrorist organization, even if the, quote, support consists only of, quote, expert advice or assistance for, quote, lawful nonviolent purposes." In that case, the organization providing legal advice for peaceful conflict resolution to a Kurdish separatist organization. The ruling sets up, on the basis of the definition by the American government of China as a, quote, "adversary," a total discontinuity between Chinese corporations and the Chinese government on the one hand, and American corporations on the other. Data collection by Chinese companies and the Chinese government on Americans is defined as fundamentally malign, while the same activities on the part of American corporations and the American government are defined as benign and to be encouraged. This is despite the fact that the American government has a proven track record of illegally spying on the private communications of the American people and of compelling American corporations to turn over the private communications of Americans for illegal surveillance. In 2013, Edward Snowden revealed that the U.S. government operates the world's largest illegal domestic surveillance program, digitally copying, analyzing, and storing private communications of individuals throughout the world, including U.S. citizens. The U.S. National Security Agency's explicit goal is, quote, "total information awareness to, quote, collect it all, know it all, process it all, exploit it all. Friday's Supreme Court ruling is fundamentally dishonest in alleging that the banning of TikTok is not intended to target specific political viewpoints. As the Knight Institute's amicus brief explained, quote, in November 2023, the bill's eventual lead sponsor, Representative Mike Gallagher, the chairman of the House Committee on the CCP, published an article calling for a TikTok ban and characterizing TikTok as, quote, digital fentanyl, through which the CCP can, quote, push its propaganda. 2 days after introducing the bill in March 2024, Chairman Gallagher noted, quote, privacy and, quote, espionage concerns regarding TikTok, but made clear that the, quote, most important reason for the ban was possibly that, quote, young Americans are getting all their news from TikTok. The amicus brief continued, quote, in the brief debate on the Senate floor, senators likewise cited viewpoint-based motivations for supporting the legislation. Senator Maria Cantwell expressed concern that, quote, foreign policy issues disfavored by China and Russian governments had fewer hashtags on TikTok, such as pro-Ukraine or pro-Israeli hashtags. Senator Pete Ricketts supported the ban because the CCP allegedly uses TikTok, quote, to skew public opinion on foreign events in their favor, including by promoting hashtags that align with its foreign policy perspectives, such as, quote, pro-Palestinian and pro-Hamas hashtags. Indeed, multiple lawmakers have cited the prevalence of pro-Palestinian content on TikTok as a reason for supporting the act. Friday's ruling follows the July 2024 ruling by the Supreme Court in Trump v. United States, which, as the WSWS explained, placed the president above the law and effectively transformed the commander-in-chief into a dictator who can commit crimes with impunity. Friday's sweeping attack on the First Amendment is another testament to the advanced state of decay of the constitutional order in the United States. As Trump moves towards the formation of a presidential dictatorship in the United States, no confidence can be placed in any institutions of the state to resist sweeping attacks on democratic rights. The defense of the social and political rights of the population requires the mobilization of the working class, both against Trump and the policies of war and dictatorship supported by both parties. Also today on the World Socialist website, Los Angeles fires survivors face arduous federal aid process, delayed payouts. Trump's DHS pick prioritized sending National Guard to the U.S.-Mexico border over providing aid to flood victims. NATO announces further militarization of Baltic Sea. Further evidence of U.K. Special Forces war crimes in Afghanistan, Libya, and Syria. In run-up to Trump's inauguration, U.S. ruling circles discuss plans for Venezuela intervention. 1 in 6 U.K. schoolchildren studying in schools in disrepair. For these articles and more, visit wsws.org. This has been Julian James.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.